We have a regular slot on our show, Now on a Friday, where we bring you stories from New Zealanders who are forced to leave their homelands and resettle here. Today, we're joined on the phone by Saw Kon Myin from Burma, sometimes called Myanmar. Hello there, Saw.
Oh, hello. Hi.
Nice to meet you. How's things?
Oh, yes. Good, thank you. I'm very pleased to meet you too.
Now, am I on speakerphone at the moment? Because it's a bit funny when we do it on speakerphone. You might have to pick up.
Oh, sorry, come again, please.
Are you on a speakerphone at the moment? Because I can hear my voice echoing in the background. Could you pick the phone up?
Okay, yeah, I'll change it now because I'm on a headphone.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, then I have to change it. Just give me a second.
Yeah, you're fine, you're fine. Coming up after two, everyone. Mermaidens have performed before on the show, and they will be very, very good, playing four or five songs for us live from the Wellington studios.
Hi. Is it better?
Much better.
Okay, thank you.
Tell us about where you were born and grew up.
Well, actually, my native is around the central region of Burma, and it is very close to a Sitam River as well. So that's where I was born, in a village. And my families were farmers.
And why did you have to leave your home country?
Yeah, it's a good question. As I said, I was born in a village, and I just wanted to be a simple, educated person in my country. Unfortunately, Burma is under the military regime since 1962. And, when I passed a high school certificate, they offered me to join military officer training. I refused it because I witnessed their killings in 1988 uprising. I was only a middle school student at that time, so those images and voices and the screams were still in my head. It's still with me. It doesn't go away. So
this is the military regime, so you saw what they were capable of and you didn't want to be part of that?
No, not at all. And so when I replied to them that I cannot join the military government, they didn't like it at all, and they blocked my educational pathway, so I couldn't go to a medical college or engineering schools, and etc. And then I went to Rangoon University and learned a Bachelor of Science in Physics, and it gave me more opportunity to work with senior students because many students were doing many things to let the public know what is wrong or going on with our education. So I helped them with spreading out information and make public aware of our situation. And then I became a serious target of the regime, and I was chased by them all the time.
I've got to say, you must be pretty brave to turn down this military regime and to defy them. I mean, that's takes a lot of courage.
Yes, you can say that, but many young people refuse their offer a lot because for me, it is not really about being in a position, but just to make sure that we have a proper education. So we have different objectives. And also, I don't want to be in a position where I'm not happy at all. You know what I mean?
Okay, you're eventually, you managed to escape, leave Burma. And I know you're a refugee in Malaysia for a while, but you got the ticket to New Zealand, and did you know anything about New Zealand when you heard that that was going to be your ultimate destination?
No. Well, actually, before I fled or ran into Malaysia, I have never been to overseas, and so when I was dealing with a lot of security issues in there, and finally I met two officers from Immigration New Zealand, and they were very fantastic. And every time I speak, I always include them because it is the kind of a thing that I can feel that, you know, people speak to people rather than people speak to an incest, which is in a refugee's experience.
You feel like an insect when you're a refugee.
Yes.
And so to have people actually talk to you as a human being was a significant feeling.
No. But it's not everybody, you know. I'm not saying the world is not good to me, but there were good people as well. But many of them changed once they know that I am a refugee. So they cheated and they did a lot of different things on me. So it was quite difficult, yeah.
Can you tell us about your first years in New Zealand?
Oh, I'm sure. Well, when I arrived in New Zealand, I stayed in Wanganui Refugee Centre in Auckland for 6 weeks. Oh, it was so, so busy. And, you know, when I was in a refugee experience, I was chased by authorities and people who wanted to kill me. But in Wanganui Refugee Centre, I was chased by professionals.
You know? They were chasing you to help you.
Yes. It was very wonderful. And, you know, back in the refugee life, I was also busy with running, you know, to save my life. But when I arrived in Wanganui Centre, I was busy, very busy. But, you know, a lot of people came and helped me to make sure that I am okay, and everybody was friendly, and you know, I could feel the atmosphere was very good. It was caring, loving, you know. Well, to be honest, that's what refugees are looking for. Nothing else. We were no different from a normal people. We are families. We are father. We are mother. And in my case, I was just a student. And that's what we needed, and that's what we were looking for, love and care.
From Mangere, you went to Hamilton to settle. I think there were four Burmese refugees who headed to Hamilton, and you got a real New Zealand experience, which was a porphyry Maori welcome. What did you make of that?
Oh, it was very wonderful as well, and really an eventful day of my life. You know, actually, I was supposed to go to Wellington, but I think the Waikato 24 was waiting for me. So, you know, about 1 week before the departure, they told me, "Oh, so you're going to Hamilton." And I said, "That's fine, it's not to worry." So, yes, on the day that we arrived in Hamilton, there was a porphyry. excuse me. Many people turned up. Local people, you know, authorities, volunteers, refugee services staff members, police, even MPs turned up. You know, David Bennett from National MP turned up to welcome us. And it didn't happen in refugee life because authorities are out there and we are the way down. And when they came and welcomed us, it was really, really, you know, different for us. And hey, I didn't know them. They didn't know me. But they welcomed us.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, very pleasant. And I was even allowed to speak during the porphyry. And, you know, after the porphyry, many people, almost everybody came and asked me and other refugees that, hey, weather is cold. Do you have a jacket or do you have a coat? Do you have enough blanket? Do you have enough food? How do you go around? Come on, just let us know. What do you need? What do you need? You know, it's not one person, not two person. Many people came and asked to us. And it is, this is called people, I would like to say. You know, we even though we don't know each other, we welcome each other and making sure that we are safe here. And not only the local, but also volunteers, authorities, everybody, you know, give us a very big welcome.
Well, Saul Conwine, we're very happy to have you as a New Zealander. Thank you for sharing your story with us, and we're glad that what started out as a pretty tough life has ended up being one where you've been warmly welcomed.
Oh, I am very happy as well in New Zealand, and that is why I'm happy to speak to people. I'm happy to share my story, life experiences, so that a lot of Kiwis here can see how much they are lucky here being in a good system, and especially for the young students. When I was a student, I was running for my life, and it's not pleasant and cannot give attention to the schools and stuff like that. But when I arrived here, oh, look at that. Opportunities. Oh, resources.
Yep. So the parents listening can say to their children, just think of this education, going to school, as an opportunity that many people don't have. So nice to meet you. Thanks so much for your time today. Goodbye.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Bye.
Nice to chat. Thanks. That's Saul Conwine, who came from Burma and is now a New Zealander.